I'm Cynthia Stone, I'm the moderator and the first presenter for this session. And we appreciate you coming and we will get started. So the focus of this session is around policy advocacy within different levels of from the organization, state, and national perspective. And I'm going to talk just a few minutes about the use of health impact assessment to help inform those policy decisions at each of the levels. I don't have anything to disclose. And then just a little bit about me. We've got a picture there of my daughters, who are both recent grads of Indiana University. I'm an associate professor in the Richard M. Fairbanks School of Public Health and adjunct in the School of Nursing. I'm the immediate past chair of the Public Health Nurse Section and the current chair of the Quad Council Coalition for Public Health Nurse Organizations. And I had to put a little picture. I'm also a varsity letter winner in field hockey, which most people don't know. But they're doing well this year, so I'm proud of them. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about health impact assessment, or HIA, sort of what it is and why would you not consider doing one if you're looking at a policy decision. How is health defined from this framework? What are the steps? And then a little bit about application. So health impact assessment is a systematic process of using data to really help inform decision makers. And it can be used for policies, as we're going to talk about today, but also for program considerations or other plans or programs that a group is considering. One of the main advantages of it is it combines information for the decision makers, but also having the voice and input from the stakeholders that will be affected by those decisions. The most important piece are the recommendations and the monitoring steps that occur, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. I have to turn up my timer. Okay. So why might you want to do this? It really does help communicate information that might not be on the table. You know, our conference title is Health in All Policies, and this is one way that we really can talk about health in all kinds of policies. It does help to look at disparities within the populations where the policy would be implemented, and as I said, provide recommendations. And it makes the health impacts more explicit. A lot of times decisions are made and we have unintended negative consequences on people's health, and this process helps to avoid that. It does help to engage and give, as I said, a voice to the community members. We've found that it really helps in building relationships. We did a little presentation to our Metropolitan Planning Department within the city of Indianapolis. All of the department directors were there, and I did it with our County Health Department Chronic Disease Director. And we were really nervous, but they were all, oh yeah, I could see how it would fit with this project, and what about that project? And they've been a major partner with us, from their economic community development manager and the most recent project I'm working on. It's really coming from that city partnership, and it's been quite interesting. So I talked a little bit about one of the things we try to do is not have unintended negative benefits, but we've also sometimes have unintended positive benefits. And a couple of examples I have here. When the Olympic Games were in Atlanta in 96, there was a big push for everybody to use public transportation. A lot of it was expanded, additional buses, just to try and have less congestion as people were moving around the city for the Olympic Games. And with that reduced auto admission, they had quite a decrease in acute childhood asthma events in the emergency department. And as soon as the Olympic Games were over and the kind of push was changed, those asthma rates went back up. So, you know, that simple decision had, in this case, good benefits. And a similar kind of thing when the Easy Pass was started on the Northeast Coast, again, reducing traffic congestion, motor vehicle emissions resulted in reduction of low birth weight infants. So again, policy decisions in those cases had positive benefits that weren't planned on. But there also are decisions that have had negative health effects. Some highway policies that have increased driving and traffic have also caused people to be less physically active, have increased, again, air pollution, traffic injuries. And so when you look at the estimated cost of traffic-related health outcomes, it could be great as $400 billion additional health care costs because of these kinds of policies. And similar when we looked at education policies. there's a disproportionate number of poor, lower education among low income and minority populations, which then impacts their opportunity for jobs and as well as increasing their life expectancy. We just had a little looking at zip code study completed within Indianapolis, and from the center of the city to just north, it's only about a 10-mile distance, we had a 14-year difference in life expectancy. So those are some things that we definitely want to consider. So we're talking about health impact assessment. We're defining health as the complete, using the WHO definition, which you're probably very familiar with, complete state of physical, mental, social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. And some of the values that we try to include in the health impact assessments that we do are the concepts of equity and justice, democracy. We try to have more transparency in the health impact assessment process, as well as then further decision-making that's done. Try and, again, have that community voice heard. Try and look at how we can maintain those health effects and overall improve the health of the community and reduce health disparities. So these are the steps that we go through when we're doing a health impact assessment. The screening step starts with, you know, who are the stakeholders involved? How are we defining the community that will be impacted by the decision, by the policy or the program? And at that step at the end, we're deciding, are we going to do a health impact assessment or not? Is there enough time? Do we have enough resources? Is it the right point within the decision-making process? So it's yes or no. And then within the scoping step, we look at what are the potential health impacts that could be part of this decision-making policy? How are we going to evaluate those changes? What are the methods that we're going to use to gather the information? We also think about how we're going to do our analysis and who's going to do what. It also usually includes, if you're familiar with using logic models, it's a similar process. We call it a pathways model. And we look at how we put all those factors together from the decision to the potential health outcomes that would be part of the process. And then we move into the assessment step. We start with doing a baseline health assessment on that community that's been affected. We look at existing health conditions. We get information and from a variety of methods. The ones that we've done focus groups, we've done key informant interviews, we've done town hall meetings, we've done paper surveys, electronic surveys, so you know, the usual kind of cadre of methods you can use. We do a review of the literature. We look at other health impact assessments that have been done that are similar and what kinds of features they used. And again, we determine how we're going to evaluate those potential impacts. When we move into recommendations, and I should say that, again, the stakeholders are involved in all of these steps as we go through. We have a session with the stakeholders, and we say, okay, here's what we found. What are some things that you think should be done to help respond to what we found? And we have, you know, usually keep the long list, but then ask them to help us prioritize what are the most important ones to begin with, to try and, again, minimize the potential negative effects and maximize the potential positive effects of that policy. And it's the usual reporting, you know, reporting back to the stakeholders. And again, a variety of things. We've done oral presentations. We usually do a written summary, a full report. The ones that we've been doing, we have a Center for Health Policy, so we put them on our website and we put them on the partner's website, depending upon who's been involved. So we try to communicate the information. And then last steps are monitoring and evaluation. So in the early part of the process, we determine sort of what that will be, and then we define at the end exactly who's going to do the monitoring, at what point in time will the monitoring occur. And then we do an evaluation looking at, you know, our process. You know, did we do what we say we would do? Did we answer the questions that we had been asked to answer? We also are trying to do, we'd like to do more outcome evaluation, but as a process, this is still fairly new, so we haven't done as much on the outcome side as we'd like, but we're starting to get that as we've had more HIAs done around the country. So when to conduct an HIA as early as possible in the decision-making process so that you can get the information so it's still relevant to the decision-makers. Ideally, if if you're asked to do it by the decision makers. I mean, that occurs in some of the areas around the country where it's been, HAAs have been done for a while. You have to do it when you've got enough information to see what direction the policy is going. And you want to do it as an ongoing process with those that are going to make the decision. You can do it when you have new or unfamiliar information that you want to have processed, or when it's required. There are certain, for instance, in Massachusetts, if you have transportation policies, an HAA is now required. So we're starting to see those types of things occur too. So to evaluate an HAA, we look at, have we influenced the decision? Did the decision makers get the information? Can you tell that it influenced how they voted or what decisions were finally made? You want to, again, look to see from your baseline information that you found over time, how did the community's health hopefully improve? As I said, it does. You do want to look at the relationships. You know, did you get different people involved now talking together and hopefully planning to work together in the future? And was the community satisfied with their level of input into the process? So we're going to hold questions till the end. And there are my references.